How you doing there, Ben?
Doing well, Bob. How about yourself?
Good. You get a big break over the holidays?
I should call you Merle.
Merle.
I? Merle.
You get a big break over the holidays. Was tonight the last meeting of the year for the trustees?
No. We actually have a meeting next week, which if people are interested, we're going to have two actually pretty interesting topics on the agenda next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at Town Hall. We're going to talk about wabbits. Yeah. Permissible animals.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the creating a profile for our new police chief position. So hopefully lots of people are interested in weighing in on what kinds of qualities we are looking for in a new chief of police, which we'll be hiring for this summer. And that process really kicks off next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at Town Hall. So if anybody wants to be a part of that, it'd be great to let us know what you think should be in that profile so that when we advertise and recruit, we get the right candidates. Because once you get the candidates, it's a little too late to say, well, we really wanted somebody who was like this and this and this. So that's the process we're going to start.
And if you don't want to go to the meeting, you can get on that town website.
Carbondalegov.org.
Find the email addresses and shoot it off.
Yep. I'd be happy to hear from anybody.
So what happened last night? What was going on over there at Town Hall?
We had a big one last night. We were there till after 9 o'clock.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so as far as our next meetings, we've got that one on Tuesday. Then we just do a pretty simple one on, I think it's on Christmas Eve, actually, but it's just a pay the bills meeting. And then we have a couple weeks off till early January. So we had a lot of things to crank through last night. We recognized Sandy Joyner for 15 years of service to the town of Carbondale. Thank you, Sandy. Sandy's right there in front when people go in, and she's kind of the face of Town Hall for a lot of people, and we appreciate her work.
Excellent.
Is there
silver anniversaries and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything for 15?
I don't know. I don't know what 15 is.
So it was kind of just a thank you.
It was a thank you.
Yeah.
Recognition.
No cookies or anything.
No service.
Homemade Benny B cookies.
There was a card.
Some brisket.
There was a really nice card. Ooh, brisket would have been good.
Yeah.
Bad
some
for the
Benny
climate.
Benny B brisket.
Bad for the climate. Good for your good for
Let's
your
trademark
tummy.
That. Benny B brisket.
Yeah. That's what Bobby Fresco calls me is B4Q.
Yeah.
It's some long acronym.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, we adopted the budget for 2020.
Congratulations. How do you feel about that?
Feel great about it, actually. It's our biggest budget we've ever had. It's almost $8 million for the town for the year, which is still a tiny little fraction of our surrounding municipalities' budgets, but we do a lot with a little and have some exciting stuff going on this year. We've talked about things like the weed steamer.
Yeah.
The weed steamer's in there.
I'd like, when that arrives, I think it would be great to have a little event.
A little, maybe a on-air weed steaming demo.
Go over to Soapress Park and we'll do a remote.
I don't think it's made for the kinds of weeds in Soapress Park. I think it's made for the really noxious weeds that don't respond to traditional methods. So it's stuff around the bike park, down in the dog park, actually Carbondale Nature Park.
Thank you.
AKA dog park.
Lynn Burton started that.
Yeah. At any rate, we have the weed steamer in there. These are just a couple highlights for folks. The mobile stage is in there.
Yeah.
We're going to have a mobile stage.
Mm-hmm.
A process for engaging the public and doing a design process for a new aquatic center pool remodel is in there to just figure that out. We got a GoCo planning grant for that. So that's exciting. The pool is sort of reaching the end of its usable life, and so we need to start the process. We're not going to build a pool in the next year, but we need to ask the questions, see what our options are, and start down that path of what's next. A process for figuring out how to make 8th Street more pedestrian and bike friendly, more of a multimodal corridor. That's in the budget. Actually get the new clarifier for the wastewater treatment plant that's been in there for a year or more, but it got kind of held over till this year. So that's
just wasn't clear.
Yeah. That's important. And the, construction of the micro hydro plant on the Nettle Creek water lines.
That's supposed to happen in 2020.
That is supposed to happen in 2020. That's another one that's kind of been in there for a few years. There's been a lot of planning and grants and engineering and all these different things, but All that is supposed to happen in 2020.
Okay. Well, there's the budget.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a lot. Those are all kind of the ornaments on the tree.
Right.
And then there's the tree itself. Which
running
is,
the town
yep.
day after day.
Yep.
Paying the folks that do the work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are the big things. We also included our supplemental budget for the end of the year, which includes payment for, we just closed on the property of the public parking lot, essentially, across from Town Hall. That was a long-term goal, was to acquire that property, and we have done it.
So for people who recycle their leaves, compost their leaves, you take them there, your Christmas trees... if you take in your Christmas tree over that lot, what else do we do with that lot? The e-waste thing is
over
there?
It's jam-packed during, you know, big events, Mountain Fair, Five Point Film Festival, stuff like that. Otherwise, it's not always jam-packed. But as more and more properties downtown that are sort of informally functioning as parking lots right now, but that are actually private property, as those get developed, we're going to see a loss of parking downtown, and the town doesn't really own a significant amount of off-street parking anywhere. And so this has been a goal of town for over a decade, for multiple boards, mayors, town managers have wanted to acquire that. The town's just leased it, so a lot of people think that we've owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just, and
that's true of all the lots around the theater and the lot where Granetta Panini is, as well as the Christmas tree recycling lot.
Yep. So, yeah, we closed on that, and that was a lot of hard work by our town manager, Jay Harrington, town attorney, Mark Hamilton, and others, really for literally years, negotiating and looking for an opportunity and then finding the opportunity.
So that's a done deal now.
That is a done deal. It's closed.
Okay, there you go.
And it worked out well that it was in this year's budget. We had some revenue come in way over expectations this year on the building permit side and on the marijuana excise tax side, so we were actually able to purchase that property without dipping into reserves and come out balanced at the end of the year. So even though we hadn't anticipated that going into 2019, we're able to close out 2019 with that. So we're really happy.
Feather in
that.
The cap.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of parking lots getting, or things that people think of as parking lots that are actually private property and going to get developed, the next item on our agenda last night was we approved a site plan for a project called Sopris Lofts, and that is right on that northeast corner of the roundabout. So as you're going around the roundabout, you've got 7-Eleven on one corner, City Market on one corner, Sopris Liquor and Wine on one corner, and then this kind of vacant lot that's kind of served as a de facto park and ride for a while now, right next to Crystal River Spas. And that is going to be developed. We rezoned it, I don't know, 6 or 9 months ago, and now a new developer came in with a site plan, and we approved that. So that's for 27 apartments, and they're small. They're called efficiency units. They're from about 400 up to just under 1,000 square feet each. Some of those will be deed restricted, so they have to remain affordable by Garfield County guidelines, and rent will be based on income for 20% of them. The rest will be free market, but they're small, so the idea is that they'll be priced affordably because of their size, hopefully, or attainably. And, you know, parking is always a question on those sorts of things, but there's 47 parking spaces, and there's about 3,500 square feet of commercial. So a really interesting site plan with kind of a public plaza and retail, you know, all glass front, and then the retail potentially spilling out into a plaza right there fronting the intersection of Colorado Avenue and Highway 133 on the northeast corner of the roundabout. So that seemed like a really good project. No real pushback about that. It's the kind of development that our code encourages, mixed-use development, where you can walk and you can bike, and it's not just surrounded by parking, and it's right in the middle of town. There's the circulator bus stop stops right there on the property, so they get some parking reductions because of their proximity to transit and things like that. So we're happy to approve that. Do I just keep going, Bob?
Sure.
Normally you stop me with lots of questions.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. You did such a good job of explaining the location.
All right. Thank you.
That's always my concern, that people really get a picture of where it is we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's important on the radio.
And then our last big item on the agenda, there are a couple just kind of administrative things. But the last one that we spent over an hour on was a review of proposed changes to our residential building codes, essentially, and that's specifically around making them new construction, new housing, more energy efficient. So we have a goal to make Carbondale carbon neutral by, I believe it's 2050, which sounds like distant future, but we got to start working toward that. We're not really on track to get there right now. And so eventually, I think most people would agree, we can't be adding new buildings that are adding to our carbon footprint. New construction at some point in the relatively near future is going to have to be net zero on the carbon side. And so we're taking some steps toward that. Some people feel like maybe they're incremental and a little too small of a step, but other people feel like it's a little bit too big of a step, which probably means it's about the right step in between with some of the feedback that we heard last night. But essentially what this would do, we still have to have one more meeting where we formally approve it, but it basically is going to say that right now only really large homes, I think it's over 5,000 square feet, have to have solar on them. That's going to come down to 2,000 square feet. We'll have to have renewable on-site electricity production. And then under 2,000 square feet, we'll have to meet a HERS rating, which is an energy efficiency rating of 50, which I believe is generally, and I'm sure there's listeners, Erica's probably listening, thinking that I'm getting this wrong, but I believe a HERS rating of 50 means that it's 50% more efficient than the kind of standard home built at the time, something like that. But the CORE did a lot of work on this for us. Jeff Dickinson did a lot of work on this and came up with they did a lot of modeling. They looked at real homes that had been built here within the past year or two. It were just built to code and found that basically our energy code is our building code is already at the point where most of those smaller homes under 2,000 square feet can meet this without adding solar, without doing any big expensive upgrades. But then the larger homes are where there's going to have to be some changes made. And, you know, with the goal of getting it to where we're not adding to our carbon footprint every time that a new unit is built in town.
Big issue. What are we going to do? You look out upon the big picture and it's just, are we smart enough to deal with this or are we going to get dealt?
Yep. And you know, I think the question is always how fast do you move? And I think a lot of people feel like we should move much faster than we are. And make everything, you know, starting tomorrow, everything should be net zero, all new construction. But we have other goals too. And so we want more affordable housing. We want more art space housing for creative. You know, we want all these things.
Right.
And so we're trying to take some steps to kind of lay the groundwork, change the way that these buildings are thought about. And then over time, probably over just the next few years, we'll sort of ratchet that down. So once people get used to this level of building, then we'll ratchet it down and say, now they need to be this much more efficient and then that much more efficient. And then before too long, we'll be able to say all new construction is net zero. And hopefully that won't feel like that big of a leap at that point. It'll feel like that's been in the pipeline and people have known that that's coming.
So when do the meeting where you would adopt these, when does that come up?
I'm going to say that's probably going to be that first meeting in January, which I think is January 12th.
And then when would they take effect?
But that's another thing that we'll decide at that meeting.
Okay.
Think the proposal from staff was to take effect June 1st. It might be July 1st, but give builders and planners and developers about a 6-month lead time on that. And you know, we're always concerned that what we don't want is for a project that's been planned and approved then can't be built as planned and approved because of a new code. But evidently these code changes are sort of modest enough that it wouldn't take any dramatic redesign. Jeff assured me of that as an architect. So thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Phi. Thank you to CORE and everybody that worked really hard. And John Plano, our town building inspector, who is going to, you know, have to make sure that people are complying with this.
And John has done a lot of outreach himself.
Yep.
Talks to a lot of people, sent out emails, sent out draft copies of the ordinance. So if you do business in town, you are likely to have known this was being discussed.
Yeah, and it's also being discussed in the other municipalities and counties in the Valley. So Pitkin County is going to put something in place that's probably a little more aggressive in its efficiency goals than this. And then we talked about that this is still a first step toward a long-term goal, and that another next step might be working with the rest of the municipalities and counties in the valley to make them all the same.
Yeah.
So that no matter where you build it to the same efficiency standard, and it's judged on the same checklist and that sort of
thing.
Wouldn't
that be nice?
It would be. And we can't say we're not going to do anything until that happens.
Right.
Because that might never happen. But let's do this. Let's let them all do their thing. And then let's look at them and say, with our next one, how can we all get on the same page?
Maybe that could be one of Carbondale's 2020 to-dos, is host a summit, bring everybody together.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So, yeah. That's
up
that's
to date.
Pretty much it.
All right. Thanks, Benny B. Town Trustee. You, listeners, are up to date.